Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Ponder Rosa Homes fulfills the promises you've made to yourself, as we have since 1985. Homes with character and quality. Exquisite homes, up to 3,600 square feet. In these charming neighborhoods, The Reserve at Pleasant Hill, Sage in Palm Desert, and proudly offering our newest addition, The Vineyard Collection 2 in Livermore. Showing these charming neighborhoods is by appointment only. Go to PonderosaHomes.com and see them now. That's PonderosaHomes.com. California DRE number 01257567.
All right, so there's lots of big stories today, but one of the biggest is they have collected enough signatures to put the recall of L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon on the ballot. However, they need a cushion, so they're still out there working really hard. Recall DAGeorgeGascon.com. Next hour, we'll talk again to the L.A. County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva. It was not his police department that lost two officers, but two El Monte police officers were shot to death by another one of these people that benefits from, quote, criminal justice reform, the type pushed by George Gascon. We'll talk to the sheriff about it in 1 hour.
All right. We now talk about Joe Biden. He's threatening the oil companies. He's going to use emergency powers if they don't start increasing the output of gas at their refineries. He's blaming them for excessive profits, and they're behind the huge gas price increases of the last year and a half. And that he's going to force them to produce more gas. I saw this morning. It's like, well, how can he do that? No. I mean, is this just, you know, gas and rhetoric, or is there a mechanism that works in the real world? Where we're going to talk now with Kara Green from the Western States Petroleum Association. That's the oil industry representative. We're going to get her on the line now. Hey, Kara, how are you?
Hey, guys. Good.
First is, can Joe Biden do what he's threatening in this letter? Can he force the energy companies to produce more gas against their will or against their capabilities?
Yeah, that letter is a shock. That's absolutely wild, especially when oil industry leaders have been working with the administration, you know, through COVID, during Russia's attack on Ukraine. And now we have the White House saying, hey, make more gasoline. But over here in California, we have Governor Newsom doing everything he can to stop production in California.
Yeah, there's that too. It's hard to tell companies that you've got to produce more when certain states like California is saying, no way, we're not going to let you. And I know this gets incredibly complicated, but I think the first question is, does he have the constitutional, the legal power to force an oil company to produce more gasoline?
Well, my expertise is energy. I'm not a constitutional lawyer. But, hey, let's get the White House on the phone right now. I'd love to talk to him and find out what's going on in his brain right now.
Well, would this have something to do with the Defense Production Act, the way, you know, they issued that dealing with the COVID emergency? Or could he do that with gas? I don't know.
So that's definitely related to crude oil storage. But what we're talking about is the capacity to refine. You know, for many of your viewers, look at those refineries in South LA County, heck, nationwide. You know, oil companies are saying that they're already running at capacity. They are producing at pre-COVID highs. So, you know, this is another example of politicians pointing fingers all they want. But in reality, it's their policies that are hurting real people.
So there's no more refinery capacity that the oil companies have?
So oil companies are a business. You know, once the crude oil, or by the way, in California, we have renewable fuels, we have hydrogen, we have natural gas. When those things get to the refinery, which, by the way, is programmed out months ahead of time, they are all slated to refine certain types of fuels in certain amounts, depending on the type of year, the type of season, and then also depending on supply and demand. And these things, again, are forecasted out months in advance.
Right. But I mean, if he's claiming that he must be claiming that you have refinery capacity that you're not using, that you have a supply of oil and gas that could be processed and sent to the public, and that extra supply
would
definitely
not the case here in California. We have drilling for oil permits sitting on the state's desk, just waiting to be signed. They've been waiting to be signed for years now. We would love to produce more of clean, efficient California oil that's made in-state, that doesn't come over via a tanker and take months to get here.
So there's no possible way for the oil and gas industry in California to produce any more fuel here?
To refine more fuel?
To refine more fuel.
Like I said, it's all programmed out. It's all programmed out, depending on, you know, there's multiple different companies. You've got 5 refineries in the Bay Area. You've got about 8 in Southern California, and they're all vying to buy crude oil or hydrogen or natural gas or renewable fuels, biodiesel, and then that is programmed to then be shipped to their refinery to produce. So we're talking about months out planning.
Is it true that it's very difficult to get energy sent from the Southeast, for example, because we don't have the pipeline capabilities?
So California is called an energy island. So we hear in national news a lot about pipelines from Canada or here and there. Here in California, we don't have pipelines bringing in crude oil. The California Central Valley is a natural and abundant place. That's where 90% of our oil comes from, underneath the ground. We pump that up out of the ground, and then it is shipped to a refinery, sometimes by an internal smaller pipeline. A truck, a rail car, it comes to a refinery and it's processed into the fuel that we put in our vehicles, into gasoline and diesel and, you know, propane. That's what we use in our grills or what we take camping with us.
But how come we don't have pipelines coming from the East Coast or the Southeast, the rest of the country, wherever they're producing oil? How come none of that oil ever goes through a pipeline overland, underground, however they do it, and gets here?
That's a great question. It would be incredibly far to traverse. Also, oil in different parts of the country, it's made differently. Some is really thick like peanut butter. Some is, more water-like. And then the viscosity ranges in between. And so geography set up their refineries to produce oil that's consistent with, to produce fuel that's consistent with the type of oil that comes out of the ground. So if you're looking at a particular refinery, they can process particular types of crude oil. Also look at the geographical features we have. You know, to come into the California's Bay Area, we'd have to traverse, you know, over Tahoe. You know, there's some incredible natural geographic boundaries that keep us from having pipelines, just setting aside, you know, the political conversation about pipelines.
So we were taking some oil from Russia coming in across the ocean on a tanker, is that right?
incredibly small amounts, especially in California. We're talking in the, you know, less than 5% was coming into California.
So where do we get most of our oil? If we don't produce enough, we don't get much from Russia. We don't have pipelines from other areas of the country. Where is it coming from?
30% is made here in state. But, you know, 30 years ago, when I was toddling around the state, that number was switched. It was more like 70%. So we have a high capacity to be creating oil. And then it does get shipped in. It depends on where we can get it. You know, South America, some of it from the Middle East.
From the Middle East.
Alaska provides some of our oils.
So we ship oil from the Middle East when we have this huge pool of oil under Bakersfield.
We do. It's incredibly difficult to get more permits to drill here. Bakersfield, the Central Coast, parts of LA, it's naturally abundant. It's coming up out of the ground, you know, whether we're drilling for it or not.
This is all crazy. It's just all nuts.
We have a lot of it. And think about this. The men and women who drill that out of the ground, who ship it to the refineries, and then are overseeing that, you know, the safest in the world refinement of our fuel. Those are Californians. Those are the people who are coaching our kids' soccer teams. You know, those are our neighbors. So we're employing Californians when we use California oil.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Kara Green from the Western States Petroleum Association.
Thanks. Have a great day.
All right.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about this in particular. What goes into the pricing of a gallon of gas? How much of it is the actual crude oil, stuff that you hear the price of a barrel goes for? That has changed in the last year significantly, which is one of the reasons we're really stuck with these high gas prices. And we talked about this last week. The country actually exports about 40% of the barrels of oil that it produces. We export it to other countries because I guess they get a better deal. All right, we'll talk about that and more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
Hey, we'll be bringing back the Moist Line in 2 days in the 5 o'clock hour. So a quick reminder to leave your messages. You can use the iHeartRadio app. A little microphone is how you talk back to the show. Or you can dial up the number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. It is a conversation that has gone on for months. It is bothering all of America now, and that's high gas prices. In fact, this is what will throw the Democrats out of Congress if this keeps up. Not inflation is bad, but people really get worked up over gas prices. And the country outside of California are seeing $5 a gallon, and they're staring, and they're angry. For us, that would be a nice relief if we could get back to $5 a gallon as we approach $7. One of the reasons that gas prices are high and are going to stay high is because of the crude oil prices. They now account for 60% of the price of a gallon of regular unleaded gasoline. This is data from the Federal Energy Information Administration. And just a year ago, crude oil prices only accounted for 52% of the cost of a gallon of gas. And during the COVID lockdowns 2 years ago, only 25% of the cost, because the price of a barrel of crude really dropped during the pandemic. So this is being pushed by this horrible market for the price of a barrel of crude oil. Refining costs are about another 17% of the price you pay per gallon. Again, this is more nationwide, but 12% of the cost went toward taxes, 11% toward distribution and marketing. But if we don't see a break in the price of a barrel of crude oil, if that continues to rise, and I'm looking at the chart here, and you can see how much it dipped back in 2020. In 2019, it was somewhere between, you know, a dollar. Oh, this is the cost for a gallon of regular gas. Look at that. Back in 2019, the cost for a gallon of regular gasoline, the U.S. average was only like a dollar something. That's hard to believe. The U.S. average.
It was in the upper ones. Yeah. I remember because we were always constantly carrying on about the high gas prices here compared to the rest of the country. Right. And I remember looking and seeing that the cheaper states, mostly in the Southeast, were in the $1.80, $1.90 region.
Right.
I clearly remember that. And the gas went up about 50% from the day Biden took over until the start of the Ukrainian war. And then, since then, it's gone up another 50%. So one of the things that Biden was bloviating about yesterday, he blamed the entire gas increase on Putin, and that's a flat-out lie. Half the gas increase happened before Putin. And it started because he announced a lot of policies to constrict the oil supply.
Production. Yeah, well, I remember distinctly the debate he had with Trump. He was clear about this. Mm-hmm. We're going to move away from fossil fuel production, and I'm going to make sure of that when I'm president.
People didn't vote on that issue.
They did not.
Now they would. If he ran against Trump today and Trump would say he'd open up the pipelines all over the place, that would help him win.
And people are driven by what I call momentum in place. Oh, yeah, pollster calls. Yeah, we need to move away towards alternative energy like electric cars. But they don't do that. In practicality, they just continue to do what they've always done and drive their gas customers.
Well, this is what it really...
Do you remember when the price of a gallon of gas went way down a few years ago and suddenly SUV sales took off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just... truck sales and all that stuff. People went nuts to buy that stuff. Right. That's what they wait for. Now, maybe those sales aren't doing so well right now, but people are still driving what they're driving.
People, on average, keep their cars 6 years. And on average, a car on the road is 11 years old. You know, it may have been sold to somebody else along the way, but people keep cars a long time. It takes 11 years to turn over the fleet. And now, who's going to get rid? You know, plus you can't buy a car right now easily. The supply is really short.
Here's a couple of other statistics. Although the U.S. is the largest producer of oil, it's also the second largest oil importer in the world. Like I said, 40% of the oil we produce here is sent to other countries. U.S. refining capacity peaked at nearly 19 million barrels per day back in April of 2020. But then with COVID and the lockdowns, they cut staff, they shut refineries. Today, they're at about 94% of capacity. Output in March was about 17.9 million barrels per day, short of the pre-pandemic levels.
They could do a little more, but that depends on whether the refineries are operational or they're down for maintenance or there was a fire. Yeah, you know, it's tough to account for the whole 100%.
Right.
But that's why Biden demanding that there be more oil refined into gasoline. It's like, yeah, great. How are you going to do that? How are you going to force them? There's got to be capabilities to do it. And again, the oil companies lost billions of dollars during the lockdown. And yeah, they want to make that money back. So they are right now.
All right. When we come back, we had mentioned this last hour. We didn't get a chance to get to it. The San Diego mayor, who we don't know a lot about, except I do believe he comes from the line of progressive Democrats, Todd Gloria, has opened up a campaign of progressive enforcement, he calls it, against homeless people for not accepting shelter. We'll bring you the update on what's going on and what the homeless are doing next.
John and Ken Show, KFI.
We'll be talking to the LA County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva, coming up after 5 o'clock. Tough circumstances. It's about the death of the two police officers in El Monte. They have been identified as Joseph Santana, an officer, and a corporal by the name of Michael Paredes. One had many years on the force, over 20, and the other just in the last year or so. They were shot to death by a Justin William Flores, a 35-year-old, who was at the motel, apparently with his wife, who he separated from, and there was a call about a possible stabbing. So the officers responded, and this guy just opened fire on them and killed them both, and then other cops eventually killed Flores. We'll talk to the sheriff about all this coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. You know, the difficult thing when you're trying to ferret through stories about the homeless and what's being done to get them off the streets, certainly off of public property where they block public access, is that the media that generally covers these stories is completely biased. We're going to San Diego now, where I was a bit surprised because the mayor there is not, I believe he's a progressive, enlightened Democrat by the name of Todd Gloria. In fact, he introduced something called progressive enforcement. It penalizes homeless people for not accepting shelter, which is kind of the way we thought this was going to go a few years ago when Newsom had that task force. And one of the ideas they came up with is, if we find you shelter and offer you shelter and you do not go, we will remove you from the public place you're camping in. Apparently in San Diego, in certain sections of downtown, they've really been big encampments blocking sidewalks. They're in places that are really making it difficult for people to get around down there. So even this mayor had enough, and he had a press conference on Monday, and he says that we're going to get people off the street into the shelter system. Basically, what they do is they come to you the first time and tell you, we have shelter, it's time to go. But if they come back the second or third time, they start handing out citations. And I guess in some cases, because I'm looking at a guy getting cuffed, they'll take you away.
Yeah, there's four rounds. First time's a warning, second and third time citation. Fourth, they're going to arrest you and take you away. And according to the San Diego Union-Tribune, the number of sidewalk encampments in downtown San Diego's East Village has noticeably decreased. Some have been arrested.
However, everyone's referring to it as whack-a-mole. They're just moving to other places and camping again. Most of them will not go to a shelter. They will not go.
But that's the thing. What is your definition of success? The definition of success to me is, if I'm living in a neighborhood, they're not there anymore. Now, they may still be homeless. They might still be suffering. But if they're refusing all the help, then I don't think there's anything more that I or the neighbors can do about it. We've offered them health. We paid for it. So there's nothing else further. We have to come to an end of this circular conversation. We paid for help. We offered the help. We created the shelters and the treatment centers. Now you have to go. And if you won't go, you get evicted. If you don't leave, you get arrested and taken out by force. There is no other path. People could talk until they fall over dead. There is no other way.
What we're seeing in these stories is people don't want to go to the shelters. They claim it's not safe there. It's dirty there. They'd rather take their chances on the street. So they'll just move to a different place. The ones that are getting arrested apparently already had outstanding warrants.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No big surprise there.
Right, because there's a lot of criminals that have been dumped out of the prisons and jails. And a lot of criminals walk around with warrants because they never showed up to address earlier arrests. That's normal. A lot of these people are not good people. See, there's so much propaganda. There's really so much brainwashing bullcrap from homeless advocates in the media. A lot of these people are not good. They're bad. They're criminals. You know, they're sex fiends and child molesters. They're thieves and burglars. Some of them are violent.
They've had very dysfunctional lives.
Yeah, I know. And it's not my problem. I'm giving some money in with part of the taxes, right? I'm giving you some money. There's an office down there to help treat you. There's a shelter there to get a dry bed. That's the best I can do, and you're not going to live in front of my house. I don't know what else to say at this point, but we've tried the other experiment, whatever they were trying to do the last 5 years. Huge disaster like none of us have ever seen in our lives. I think that ends the debate. You had it your way. Massive failure. Now we're going to go back to our way.
So the frustration, I said, is because a couple of articles we're looking at. One is from Public, KPBS. Well, the shelters are 93% full. There's really no room for all the people they want to send there. The other story in the San Diego Union-Tribune focuses on they're throwing out the homeless's possessions. That isn't right. Look at all this stuff they're picking because it's blocking the sidewalk. It's making a mess. It's disgusting.
Yeah, well, it's too bad if we're throwing out their possessions. Honestly.
Your possessions do not belong on a public sidewalk.
I mean, and what they've got here is bicycles, missing wheels.
We've accepted this behavior for so long, thanks to these politicians that are in charge, that now it's considered an outrage if you remove debris from a public sidewalk.
But not by the normal people. Not by the majorities.
Got to start voting.
They do
have
to start
doing
voting.
Something.
They have to start voting, and what they have to do is shake away all the stupid guilt that's been laid on them by all the people who've got a public megaphone. It's a load of horse crap. It is.
The story here says that the city of San Diego got 1,200 complaints last week about homeless encampments through the city's Get It Done app.
Right.
That shows you people are fed up.
That's right. And as far as homeless activists, it's the same 10 people that show up every time. So I'll go with the complaint crowd, I think, is exponentially larger than the advocacy crowd. It's just the advocacy crowd has some nonprofit, they get donations, and they're able to pay themselves enough money.
Oh, so that they can also devote themselves 100% to
this. Because they're paid for this. This is their job. Their job is to go out and create a big ruckus every time the police try to enforce homeless laws. That's what they do for a living. They're financed by wealthy people who've taken this on as a cause. And the media responds to the paid advocates who make a public ruckus. And they ignore the quiet, normal people who are simply calling the emergency line to report the homeless encampment. See, those people don't make TV because those people are making dinner for their kids. And there's just this huge power imbalance when it comes to getting attention and getting media coverage.
I'm all about enforcement. You're going to have to harass these people into making better life choices, and you're going to have to keep doing it. If it's whack-a-mole, then keep whacking them.
Right.
Keep moving them on till they get tired. We talked about this in L.A. Culver City had this approach. They're right on the border with the city of L.A. and Dopey Mike Bonin's district, and they didn't put up with this. They just said they just kept coming every day and bothering these vagrants until finally the vagrants just packed up and moved across the street to the city of L.A. where Mike Bonin's LAPD enforcement is zero. Right?
Beverly Hills does this. Most of the independent cities that border Los Angeles or are encircled by Los Angeles, that's what they do. And they keep all this nonsense out of their town for the most part. It just doesn't take root. They see it, they get rid of it.
So we'll see how this goes. This is what San Diego's doing. Certainly better than anything we're seeing here in the city of Los Angeles. Because, again, all the advocates ever say is, you can't arrest your way out of homelessness. It never works.
I don't know what that means.
And they cited all these dopey studies.
I don't care about their studies. What they say doesn't mean anything. They have a lot of empty catchphrases they use and slogans. If a guy's arrested and taken off the street, he's now off the street. And if the police stay patrolling that street, he won't be allowed back on. So I don't know what their phrases mean. Yes, you can. You arrest them and make them move. Make them go somewhere else. Period.
All right. We got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. Sheriff Villanueva on just after 5 o'clock to talk about the two El Monte police officers who were killed yesterday by another George Gascon creation.
Well, here's an update. Now, those two officers' names were Corporal Michael Paredes and Officer Joseph Santana. Bill Malusian has sent out another tweet. Bill, of course, a reporter for Fox LA, Fox News. The two fallen officers have now been identified. Sources in the LADA's office tell me if this case had been prosecuted without Gascon's policies in February of 2021, Flores would have likely been behind bars on a 2.5 to 3 year minimum sentence. Instead, he was out on probation last night when he killed the officers. That's what we're talking about.
He was caught as a felon in possession of a gun, and he should have gotten 2.5 to 3 years. There was also two other felony charges that were dropped. It was a plea deal. This is under Gascon's new policy. So this guy was on the loose last night, got into some kind of incident at the motel, and when the two cops showed up, Paredes and Santana, he shot them both to death. This is directly connected to George Gascon. George Gascon. Otherwise, this guy would have been in prison. And you can't say it any clearer. George Gascon is responsible for these two officers' deaths. So yep. What are you going to do about it here?
The dots connect right into his big, fat head. Gascon is responsible. If you haven't heard, they've collected enough signatures, but they need a cushion to get this on the ballot for the recall. So if you're an L.A. County registered voter, even more incentive today to go to recalldageorgegascon.com. All right,
it's just sickening. I mean, this really, really should drive him out of office. He should resign over this. Why don't we just end this nonsense and Gascon resign? Now that his policies are killing police officers brutally, officers with families, should be the end of Gascon's career?
I felt it should have been the end of his career first month he took office when he put out these directives. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Right.
I knew it would lead to this mayhem.
Of course it would. And it had to. This had to be the road that it went down.
All right. One of the topics we used to bring up on the show a lot more in the past. Do you remember medical procedures gone awry?
Oh, yeah.
And often those cases were like they amputate the wrong leg or something.
Oh, yeah. They remove the wrong organ.
This one, though, is a brand new type of medical procedure gone awry, and it's a weird one. A four-year-old boy went to a hospital in Houston, Texas to have a hernia, and he ended up with a partial vasectomy. I don't know how you...
What is a partial vasectomy?
Well, they accidentally cut the vas deferens, one of the tubes that carries reproductive semen. So I guess they didn't cut all of the vas deferens.
Yeah.
Says one of the tubes.
Does that, well, so that means he's going to have half as much sperm out there?
I don't know. They can reverse it with another surgery to reconnect tubes.
How old is he?
Four.
That's really young for him to make a decision. Because
I don't think he's producing much semen yet.
But. Right. But I mean, you know, if...
if you were old, too young for him to.
Well, he can't make the decision himself. You know, he's not old enough. He doesn't understand the implications here. But boy, you get a vasectomy when you're a teenager. You realize you don't have to worry about getting anybody pregnant.
True, but what if you want to have a child?
When you're a teenager, you're not thinking that way. You're just thinking, because the real trouble.
Yeah, but when you're 30, you may. I mean, you can have it reconnected.
No, I understand. I'm talking from the. From the perspective of, let's say, you're 17.
Yeah.
You can't get anybody pregnant.
So this was a woman by the name of Dr. Susan Giroz, who cut the wrong piece of anatomy. I guess it was laparoscopic surgery for the hernia. And it says that, I'm not going to pretend I know the anatomy, but...
Well, the hernia is in an abdominal wall.
This woman has no history of medical malpractice or complaints about her work. She's an assistant professor of pediatric urology at Baylor College of Medicine. But this is an odd one.
Did she sneeze?
No, she just failed to accurately identify the anatomy that needed to be cut.
Because
I guess in a hernia, what happens there? Your stomach collapses or
your abdominal wall? Has a collapse,
right.
And so your guts could come spilling out through the wall because it's like a muscle problem.
Right,
it's like the muscle of your abdominal wall pops out. But I'm trying to figure out the how she cut the vas deferens because that carries the semen, which is that coming out of your testicles and up through.
Through generally the penis? That's where you're.
Well, how did she get there if she's working on an abdominal hernia?
I don't know. Semen carries the sperm, which impregnates, right? So I don't know what.
Yeah, the sperm come from the testicles.
Yeah, the sperm does come from the testicles.
All right. Where does the semen come from? Maybe the semen comes from something deep inside, and that's why she...
You're digging too deep for me now.
Doesn't that come from the prostate?
We're a bunch of medical students, aren't we? There's some doctor listening right now, banging his steering wheel and banging his head. Listen to these three knuckleheads.
Well, you would think, though, that a professor of urology would not have cut wrong.
She's supposed to know. Right, exactly.
We're not as bad off as she is. That's why there's a lawsuit.
You go
this.
Into surgery, you're not supposed to know what to do.
All right, Sheriff Alex Villanueva, the L.A. County Sheriff, will join us next. We will be talking about this horror out of El Monte, the death of two police officers at the hands of another longtime violent felon.
John and Ken Show, Deborah Mark on vacation today. Mark Ronner has the news, KFI AM 640. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at NerdWallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash. Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander. Or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.